Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in our new episode of our program that goes by the title of Lives of the Companions. As it is clear from the title of the program that in this program we talk about the honorable companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Every week we tend to bring a new personality before you. We talk about that personality and derive some pearls of wisdom from their seerah, from their conduct, which we can also implement upon, and we can also enlighten our hearts further with their love, with their eminence. Carrying the same suit today, another illustrious companion, a great companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, will be discussing about a companion who's a hallmark of piety, a companion who's known for his devotion for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a companion who's known for having that piety, the element of piety that he had in him, the element of disinterest in this world, the aversion towards this world that he possessed, a companion who was known for his worship, a companion who was known for his reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He radiallahu anhu was a hallmark of piety and taqwa, someone who is truly our guide, our leader, our master. Who is this companion? He is none other than Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. This great personality, subhanallah, is our topic of the day, whom we'll be discussing about and enlightening our hearts further with his eminence, with his love. And alhamdulillah, I'm joined by our prestigious guest, Brother Waqas today, mashallah. Brother Waqas, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JazakAllah for joining us, Brother Waqas. May Allah accept your efforts, may Allah reward you immensely. How are you doing today?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Yourself, how are you?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ala kulli hal. Today, the personality that you've chosen, Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, subhanAllah. What a great personality. Well, every companion of the Prophet is great, alhamdulillah. But when we particularly talk about Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, the hallmark of piety, hallmark of asceticism, in other words, that we know as the disinterest he had towards this dunya and the wealth and the mal of this world. So, inshallah, Zawadil, you'll be taking us through the journey of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu in our today's program. To begin with, how would you start to talk about Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu in terms of his introduction and who this great personality was?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So firstly, Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, as you mentioned, was such a beautiful personality, as every other Sahabi.
Indeed.
You know, alhamdulillah. His actual name wasn't Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Dharr was his kunya.
Right.
Ghifar was his tribe where he was from.
Okay.
So he was named after that tribe. His actual name is Jundub bin Junada Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala. That's his complete name, Jundub bin Junada radiallahu ta'ala. He is from the early companions. In some narrations it says he was the fourth one to accept Islam, and in some it says he was the fifth one to accept Islam. And it's mentioned that he was very pious before accepting Islam.
Even before.
So, sometimes you hear about people and after they accepted Islam, they became very pious.
Their character wasn't as good before accepting Islam.
But Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, he was one of those companions that he never worshipped idols, he never drank alcohol, you know, before Islam. So his heart was already, you could say, softened. So when somebody, at that time, the people of Arabia, as you know, when the Prophet started to give dawah to Islam, many people started to abuse him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many people started to say he's a magician, say bad things about him. So Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, he was looking for somebody that could guide him. He knew that these idols weren't correct. He knew that there was only one Allah. But he was looking for somebody like the Prophet to guide him. And it's been mentioned that he was one of those early Sahabas that migrated with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina Sharif as well, and he was a part of the Ashab al-Sufa as well. So Ashab al-Sufa were those companions who stayed with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina Sharif to learn in Medina. They were, you can say, the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned that any gift or sadaqah which would come in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would give it to the Ashab al-Sufa first. Learn about these Sahabas. We shouldn't just learn about them. Learn about them. And what can we take from their lives? So every account we mention, us as well and the user of Madhini channel should take something away from their life, inshallah.
That should be our goal.
That should be our goal, definitely.
When we talk about them, when we mention them.
Definitely. So inshallah, after this, inshallah, we'll go to, this is quite a long account of how he accepted Islam. So inshallah, we'll go into that as well.
Subhanallah. Inshallah, we'll come back to that account, Qasim. You mentioned about him being fourth one to accept Islam, and this is one of the opinions that ulama have mentioned. So this also takes us to the point that he was amongst the Sabiqun al-Awwalun companions, those who were the first ones to embrace Islam. And now the rank that those companions had, their rank is way superior than those companions who embrace Islam afterwards.
Yes.
Because the tyrannies and oppressions and the hardships that they had to endure, that they had to go through, it wasn't the same for other companions.
Definitely.
So from this perspective as well, and inshallah, I'm sure you'll touch upon the fact of how much tyrannies he had to face and how much torture he had to go through in order to remain steadfast upon Islam, and how he remained determined upon the firm faith. And inshallah, Zawadil, we will go through that. So dear viewers of Madani channel, we're talking about Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu today, and beautifully introduced by Muballigh Dawat Islami, that Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu is a hallmark of piety, someone who's known to be disinterested from this dunya, and he's also amongst those fortunate companions who were privileged to migrate with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who was amongst the very first companions to embrace Islam, and also was amongst the Ahlus Sufa, those companions who were the guests of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Many of the excellences Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu holds, and many other accounts there are regarding his seerah, which inshallah Zawadil we will talk about. So, because we have spoken about a brief introduction of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, who he was, and he was amongst the early companions who embraced Islam. Now, moving forward, which other element would you like to touch upon right at the beginning to understand or to delve deeper into the personality of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu?
We will talk about how he accepted Islam.
Allah.
So when he heard that there's somebody, a prophet of Allah, saying that there's only one God, that we should all worship one God.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, as we discussed, he was pious already.
He was already inclined to it.
He was already inclined. Mm-hmm. So he said, let me go to Makkah and let me go and find this person.
Right.
And obviously the people are saying to him, no, Ma'azallah, he's a magician sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. He's this, he's that. But as his heart was already inclined, so he went towards Makkah and he was looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came across Sayyidina Ali radiallahu
ta'ala. Sayyidina
Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he thought that this was a traveler.
Right.
You know? So he said, come on, he took him to his house, gave him some food, he said, stay the night here. So they stayed the night, and then the next night, Sayyidina Ali didn't know why Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala had come to Makkah to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, okay, stay in my house. The next day, and after the night, they have some food. And then Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, he says, let me go and see in the town what's happening. See, find out anything about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he went out in the town, but he didn't manage to find anybody because he was still new to Islam. He was the fourth one of his. He didn't find anybody who could tell him about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then he came at that night, he came again across Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu again. Sayyidina Ali said, oh, it looks like what you came for, you haven't achieved. Stay one more night at my house. So he stayed at, when there was at that night, and then Sayyidina Ali said to him, that, why are you in Makkah? Why have you come here? Tell me, what's your reason? And he said, look, I have heard that there's somebody calling to one God, to one Allah. I want to meet him. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to him, okay, tomorrow I'll guide you and I'll take you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So just till here, because you just mentioned so many positivism we can take from here. The element of being hospitable towards the guests, to look after them, so and so forth. We can take so much from here. Just until now, what you've mentioned, the account. I'll just stop you over here with us, inshallah. We'll continue from here onwards. It's the time to take our first segment of the program, inshallah, dear viewers. It is time for our first segment, which is Message of a Scholar. Straight after this segment, inshallah, we will come back and continue our account from where Brother Waqas has just left and carry our discussion further for this beautiful account that what happened thereafter. So don't go anyway. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
ولا تنكحوا المشركات حتى يؤمن ولا أمة مؤمنة خير من مشركة ولو أعجبتكم ولا تنكحوا المشركين حتى يؤمنوا ولا عبد مؤمن خير من مشرك ولو أعجبكم أولئك يدعون إلى النار والله يدعو إلى الجنة والمغفرة بإذنه ويبين آياته للناس لعلهم يتذكرون. And do not marry idolatresses until they embrace faith. And indeed, the believing slave girl is better than the idolatress, even if she appeals you. And do not give Muslim women in marriage to idolaters until they embrace faith. And indeed, the believing slave is better than the idolater, even if he impresses you. They call towards the fire, and Allah calls towards paradise and forgiveness with His command. And He states His verses for the people that they may attain sincere advice. This is such an issue which is pretty much faced all around the world. At many places, it is normally witnessed that Muslims and polytheists live in the same place, in the same country, in the same city, or in the same village. And in the midst of all this, the matter even reaches the stage of marriage. Muslims are a totally separate nation. Islam is a separate religion, which has its own requirements, and Muslims have their own way of life. And the matters of the marriage and the relationship of husband and wife are those matters and that relationship which are the closest in the life of a person. That's why in this relation, Allah Almighty has issued very important injunctions. You have people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. In relation to them, it has been said that if a Jew or a Christian woman remains firm upon her religion, not an atheist or irreligious, she believes in her messenger, in her book, in her God. Regarding her, it is said that marriage can take place with her. The marriage of a Muslim man can take place with a Christian or a Jew woman. But in today's day and age, the scholars have said that even that too is makruh tahrimi. Marriage with a Harabi woman is makruh tahrimi. And in today's day and age, all the disbelievers of the world are Harabi disbelievers. This is a shar'i term. Then there are other than the people of the book. Those who worship the idols, those who worship fire, or those who worship the sun, or those who worship the moon, or any other object, they all fall into the category of polytheists. Regarding them, it was said that marriage cannot take place with a polytheist woman or a polytheist man. It was said that if there's a polytheist woman who may even appeals you, marrying her is not permissible, marriage with her is unlawful haram, and marriage doesn't even take place with her in the first place. And as compared to her, even if a Muslim woman is a slave girl, marriage with her is lawful and it is better. In the same way, it was said that do not marry your women to polytheist men. Therefore, all those men and women who worship idols, those who worship the sun or the moon or the fire, Muslim men and women cannot marry the men and women who carry these polytheistic beliefs. So, wherever it may be, it will remain impermissible and unlawful. Such a marriage will remain invalid and wouldn't even take place in the first place. These are very clear commandments of Islam regarding it. And it was stated that they call towards the fire of hell, whereas Allah calls you towards paradise and His forgiveness. In the command that Allah is giving you, you will attain paradise, you will attain the forgiveness of Allah. Whereas, if a Muslim woman marries a polytheist man, or if a Muslim man marries a polytheist, a disbelieving woman, then it was said that they will take you to the fire of hell which they are inviting towards. And alongside this, it was mentioned that Allah has stated these verses very clearly, so that people attain advice. We are not in need of drawing inferences to understand here, rather everything has been mentioned word by word, openly, explicitly, and by taking names individually, stating that marriage with a polytheist man or woman cannot take place. So when there are such explicit rulings of the Qur'an, then violating those rulings becomes equally severer.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Such an important message here is for us to understand the ruling of Sharia. May Allah Almighty allow us all to comply in accordance to it. So dear viewers, we were talking about Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu's acceptance of Islam. And Brother Waqas was taking us through the beautiful account of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, that when he came to Makkah al-Mukarramah and he was in search of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he comes across the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Now Waqas bhai, you mentioned that Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, he came to Makkah al-Mukarramah in search of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Reason being, of course, he was in search of truth. And prior to embracing Islam, still his heart was inclined towards one God, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also will cover this as well later on, that he also used to offer salah even before accepting Islam. Now, you mentioned that Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he hosts him for one night, then the entire incident took place. Then again, second night, the same thing happens. So that's where we got to just before our segment. So now the second night comes and Ali al-Murtaza radiallahu anhu hosts him again for the second night. So what happens thereafter?
So the next day, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says to him, look, it's a very difficult situation out there. As soon as the disbelievers find out that somebody has accepted Islam, they don't make his life easy. You know, right. They make difficulty, they attack them. Be careful, stay close to me, stay behind me, and let's be carefully go to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So he's warning him of all the dangers.
Yes.
The threats to life as well.
Yes. Obviously at that time, it's well known that, you know, the disbelievers, as soon as somebody found out that they accepted Islam, they went against the religion of their forefathers, they used to attack them, abuse them. So when they went carefully and they got to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I say, Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, he gives salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholars have mentioned here that Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, he was actually the first person to formally give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we go, we give salam to each other as well. This is, we are following in the footsteps of Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu
anhu. So everyone who gives salam replies to it. Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu gets the reward.
Subhanallah. Well, amazing. This is again about sadaqa jariya. When we do something, when we follow somebody doing something, you know, good, we get the reward and they get the reward as well.
Subhanallah.
Can you imagine how much reward Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu has of giving salam?
Subhanallah. Since that time till now, from now till their judgment, day out, all around the globe, everyone giving salam to each other.
Subhanallah. So he gives salam to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He accepts Islam, and then he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've embraced Islam, I've accepted Islam. If you give me permission, I want to go in front of those people and tell them about Islam. I want to announce my Islam. Yes, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him about how dangerous the situation is. Look, it's very difficult out there, be careful. But he says, Ya Rasulullah, it's my wish.
Allah.
You know, I want to go and tell people about
I don't
Islam.
Care about my life.
He says, this is a wish of my heart, I want to go. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stays quiet.
Right.
So he didn't say anything. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Abu Dharr Ghifari, he goes and he goes to the disbelievers and he says, oh disbelievers, there's only one God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger of Allah.
Subhanallah.
What happens then? They abuse him, and it's mentioned that by stones, by rocks, by mud, by bones were thrown at Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu. So much that his whole body was full of blood.
Allah.
Whole body was full of blood. He comes back to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Oh Abu Dharr, didn't I tell you? Look, that it's dangerous out there." He says, "Ya Rasulullah, it was the wish of my heart." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him, taught him some ayahs of the Quran, and said, "Oh Abu Dharr, go back to your people. And when I am on top, when I have the power over people, then you come back to me." And it's mentioned that time passed by. And approximately 10 years later, 10 years had passed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari back. He said, come back. Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, he come back after 10 years. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with his Sahaba, and they see far away something's coming towards them in the dust of the sand, you know, in the desert. Something dust, and it's like somebody's got something on their head. And the Sahaba, everybody's thinking, what's that? Who is that coming? And what has he got in his head? The Prophet says from far away, that's Abu Dharr.
SubhanAllah.
You couldn't see who it was, but the Prophet knew that was Abu Dharr. SubhanAllah. And then he comes closer into the court of the Prophet. This is the Prophet asking, oh Abu Dharr, why are you holding your possessions on your head? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I was coming with my camel. My camel got ill on the way. I couldn't wait to see you.
Allah,
I couldn't wait to see you. I wanted to get come into your court quickly. I left my camel there and I got my belongings in my head and I come and rush into your court. Couple of things here was that we learned from this account. Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghaffari wanted to announce his Islam, show people his Islam. What do we do today? I can't keep the bed. What would people say? You know, if I'm with the Imamah and people are Muslim, what would people think? If I'm on a journey or I'm in an office and I read my Salah or I'm at the train station, I can't read Salah. What would people say? We try to hide our Islam. We try to hide our deen and our identity. And look at the Sahaba Ikram Ahim is one. They wanted to go and show people. Even they knew they were going to get abused. Nowadays, we don't get abused from anybody. We read Salah where we want. Sahaba knew the situation. And look, they still wanted to give their deen and announce their deen. This was their passion, subhanAllah.
Not only that, some other pearls of wisdom that we can derive from this account, as you were mentioning this, when Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he kept him, he hosted him for 2 nights. But how happily he did so.
SubhanAllah.
You know, what is our state we all know nowadays? You know, we avoid guests. Whereas, hosting guests, how honorable a deed it is. Like the Mullah Mushkil Kushair Ali al-Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he's following this practice and he's doing this wholeheartedly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shows us what Islam teaches us. Then, moving directly to the end of the account, you mentioned Abu Dharr Ghaffari radiallahu anhu could not bear to be separated from the Prophet. We've spoken about how steadfast he was upon Islam, how determined he was in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how averse he was towards this dunya, how disinterested he was in this dunya, how pious he was. He would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immensely to the extent that he would even fall down because of worshipping Allah Almighty. But everything came back to one point. It was the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And a person of such stature, a person of such grandeur, who holds such eminence from the perspective of piety, from the perspective of asceticism, from the perspective of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it came to present himself in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he couldn't even wait for his camel to recover.
A couple of things from here, Wasim, regarding guests, just quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not our topic, but you know, these Sahaba and the companions and the awliya, Allah, they used to keep people overnight. If today somebody comes for a cup of tea, for example, to our house, or he's come again, a neighbor comes. As you mentioned, if you knew that how the guest brings their rizq and takes the sins of the host, and if you see what the sins that they take of the host will want the guest to come all the time, so have guests all the time. But we think, oh, it's a burden, he's come for our tea or our coffee. You know, that interaction with people has finished today.
We don't have that that priority for our sins to be removed, for pious deeds to be increased. If we take financial example into the same contention, we say, for Waqasai will come to my house, I'll be hosting Waqasai, and for every visit Waqasai comes to my house, I'll be earning 1,000 pounds. Right? Now, I think me and other brothers will be fighting amongst each other. No, Waqasai will be my guest. No, Waqasai will be my guest. Why? Because now I'm earning 1,000 pounds. But on the other hand, when I'm being told that the glad tiding is there, that by hosting a guest, our sins will be forgiven, this doesn't mean anything to us.
It's sad to see, to be honest with you. We should. Yes, anyway, we learn from like people like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and other prophets, they would look for guests to come and have.
They wouldn't eat until a guest wouldn't come.
That's the blessing of having guests. And today we're the opposite today.
Indeed.
And we say, why are the Muslims going far away from our deen? This is part of our deen as well.
Very true.
So we should look for and, you know, accommodate and host guests as well, inshallah.
Beautiful account we discovered years in some other channel, that how Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghaffari radiallahu anhu, he accepted Islam, then he revealed his Islam before other people, despite knowing that there is threat to his life in doing so. But yet look at his steadfastness, his perseverance and determination to announce his Islam. This was Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. And with this just one account, we have so many pearls of wisdom. There's love for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There's that the element of hospitality, how important that is for our faith. Then the element of well-wishing, Qasmi. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is telling him that this is a danger. And in Murtaza karramallahu ta'ala wajhul kareem is telling him that this is a danger. The element of well-wishing for the Ummah. This is also very important. You know, I know of a certain danger, a certain harm outside for you to fall into a certain activity. I should be telling you that. But unfortunately, we are like, okay, let him go.
Let him
fail. And then I'll show him how this is done. You know, unfortunately, this is our mindset. It should not be the case here. Viewers, falling in the footsteps of the likes of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu tells us that we should look after our brothers and sisters. We should make sure that if we can save them from a certain harm, then we should do that. So many lessons, alhamdulillah, so many things that are yet to be covered. We will continue our discussion, inshallah, after the second segment of ours, for which the time is now. And the segment of ours is Words of Wisdom. Let's go towards our this segment, Words of Wisdom. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Beautiful saying of the fourth caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Ali al-Mustafa, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, that the one who considers his own opinion to be sufficient is in peril, is in detriment. That very person faces harm. So a person who considers his own opinion to be sufficient, Allahu Akbar, that person faces harm. Such comprehensive saying of Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, which unfortunately is seen in our society nowadays, where many people, whatever they've said, it is my way or no way.
This is very prevalent. You know, this is very shocking to even hear this, that how many people say that I'm right.
Mm.
That is my opinion. I'm clever, I'm knowledgeable, I've been to college, university. What does anybody else know? We all think that we're right.
Even if the other person is giving evidence, if there's an evidence-based argument, still, I'll be like, you think you know better than me, that kind of thing. So, always in consultation is betterment. Always we should be humble, because this is also contrary to humbleness. So, this is very, very important for such a beautiful and comprehensive saying of Mullah Mushki Pusha Ali al-Mustafa, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. May Allah Almighty enable us to act upon it. You know, Qasmi, we were talking about Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu just before we went to the break of the segment, and we covered a beautiful account derived some Madani thoughts from it. What else would you like to mention for views of Madani channel regarding Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu?
So, you know, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu's passion for worship was amazing. That his nephew says, that Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu says, that I used to read Salah 3 years before accepting Islam.
Even 3 years before accepting Islam.
3 years before accepting Islam. So his nephew asked him, that, oh my uncle, who did you worship at that time?
Mm-hmm.
Then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced that Allah 3 years later, he says, I used to worship Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And the next question he asked, he says, which direction did you pray Salah in? You know, the direction of the Qibla was in Manah.
Mm-hmm.
He said, whichever direction Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would turn my body in, Allah, I'll read in that way. Mm-hmm. Subhanallah. And he says that, how much is that? It's not like how we read today, quickly, rush our Salah. He says, I used to worship all night. And in the time of Sari used to come, I used to get weaker and sometimes collapse.
Allah.
I used to fall, I didn't have enough strength in my body. And all the way till the sun used to rise as well. All night he used to worship before accepting Islam.
Allah.
And what would be the situation after he accepted Islam?
Allah.
Now,
Allah.
It's amazing that, especially he has so much disconnection of the world, he would want to worship day and night. He wouldn't want to gather wealth.
Mm.
You know, there's so much accounts that we can learn, that all night worshipping. How much do we worship at night? Do we even pray our Isha Salah? So maybe 90% of Muslims, unfortunately today, don't even read the Salah.
Mm.
You know, we call ourselves Muslims, you know, we might look like Muslim
Allah.
Names. But how far are we away from the Salah?
True.
And we say that we are Ashik Rasul, we are lovers of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say about Salah? Salah is qurratu of my eyes.
Allah.
And we say we love the Sahaba, we love the companions, we love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we haven't got time for Salah today. So this we need to, as I said, learn from these beautiful companions, that don't just listen, but but act upon and take from the account his life.
That's something to ponder upon, dear viewers, that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah Almighty, especially in particular the fard acts of worship such as offering salah, such as fasting, performing hajj and so forth, these are mandatory for us. They are fard, obligatory for us to perform. And this is what we learn also, another aspect from the seerah of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. Because as you mentioned in this account, you see the element of his piety and greatness even prior to embracing Islam. And it also comes to a point where we have to believe in the fard, which is actually the fard, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose those personalities who will be the companions of his beloved. Being companion of the Prophet is not a small honor. They are the most superior of the awliya of this ummah. And when we go through the seerah of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, even in the companions, you see, we come to know about of their greatness, their qualities that Allah Almighty blessed them with. And these are those personalities that were chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the final messenger, who is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as we talk about Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and there are many other accounts as well that we would have beautiful advice that we get from one of the narrations where Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu mentioned that the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me of six things. Now these six things, Waqasri, only if we could also ponder upon and just, you know, keep it as a charter of our life. So Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu says that the Holy Prophet alayhi sallam advised me of six things. What are they? Number one, loving the poor. Number two, those who are inferior than you, meaning from worldly perspective, those who are inferior than you from worldly perspective, look upon them, not those who are superior to you. Those who are poorer than you, in other words, look upon them, not those who are wealthier than you. Number three, in every state, say the truth, even if it is bitter. Number four, in the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not fear anyone's reproach. Do not fear anyone's rebuking in the matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, be nice and kind to your relatives, even if they cut ties. How beautiful this is. Be kind to your relatives, even if they cut ties. And number six, abundantly recite, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
If we take these, Hussein, by one by one, love the poor. Allah. We learn this from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if I wanted, I would have the mountains of gold and silver walk with me. But he didn't choose that life. But how many of us love the poor? If we go, okay, maybe not in the UK, we don't have that many poor, we say. We go back home to Pakistan or Africa or Asia, how much do we help the poor people? True. Now some of us have poor relatives. We haven't got time for them today. True. Who wants to sit with the poor people today? Who calls the poor people to their weddings today?
Very true.
To their birthday parties, to their functions. Does anybody call the poor people? Nobody. So we are acting to the opposite of the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And then we complain, why are we facing downfall?
Very sad to see. Number two, look at those below you and not above you.
Subhanallah.
What do we see? That he's got, I've got one house, he's got two. I want to beat him. He's got such a car, I want better car than him. We don't look at the people below. We don't say, I've got a car, look, that guy's got a bike. I've got a bike, look, he hasn't even got a bike, he's walking. When I'm walking, look at that person, he hasn't even got feet.
Allah.
But what do we do? Always look above. Again, advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do the opposite. So we need to take these beautiful pearls and advice. This wasn't just for Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. This was for us as the ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us that these six advice, if we just take this from the seerah and the life of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, we have achieved our success.
It's also contentment of heart, you know, in these pearls of wisdom. If you look upon those who are poorer, who have less wealth than us, it also gives us a sense of satisfaction and contentment, being content upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah, amazing. That every situation tells the truth, even if it's bitter.
Allah.
In your business, we're lying. In family, we're lying. We lie to parents. We lie to children. You know, in every, we lie to the government, we lie to, in every department we are lying.
Lying has become an integral part of our life. We think we can't do business without lying. We think we can't go about our daily chores without lying.
And even if it's bitter, that's the point. Oh, no, he might get upset if I tell the truth. And if I say something to him, if I advise somebody, he might get upset. Or I might hurt somebody. The truth is the truth.
Usman ibn Ghadir was one of the biggest businessmen. Imam Adam ibn Hanifa rahmatullahi was one of the biggest businessmen. Abdul Rahman ibn Awf was one of the biggest businessmen. Do you think they would have ever lied?
They say, Islam was spread in the early times, not through the Quran or Hadith. It was spread through traders. Traders used to go around the world and people used to see their honesty, their way of business. Wow, look how amazing these people are, look how honest they are. And they used to come into Islam.
They truly personified the Quran and Sunnah.
And today, if you want to buy a car, and there's a Muslim's name selling a car and a non-Muslim, who would we go for? Or we want to buy something online, where would we go?
Unfortunately.
This is why, because we haven't followed the advice of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Number five was, if relatives break ties with you, even you mend them, is that you keep your ties with the relative.
Even if they're going to cut off.
Oh, he didn't invite me to his wedding. I'm not going to speak to him. He said this to my mom about 10 years ago. Or mom and dad.
These are nonsensical things, aren't they, Akasi?
You know, many families that don't speak to him, you ask them what happened. A lot of them can't even remember. Oh, I think this happened 10 years ago. My dad said don't speak to them. And we've broken ties with our close blood relatives over such petty things. This is how far we are going from the deen. Our blessing, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, illa aliyyil azim. How much do you read of that again?
Sure.
How much do I read? How much do you read? How much do the views of Madhi Chan read? These six pieces of advice, if we just take this, it'll be amazing, inshallah.
SubhanAllah, these beautiful six pieces of advice we've just covered. May Allah Almighty allow us to act upon them. Now it's time for our next segment, which is, did you know? Sallu ala al-Habib
sallallahu
ala Muhammad
sallallahu
alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lies of the companions radiyallahu
anhum. Okay, so our segment, did you know, in which we ask each other questions, and I'm sure you would be prepared. I'm not trying to pressurize you or anything, but we have a set of four questions, inshallah. We'll be asking each other questions in turn, inshallah.
Sure.
And the whole purpose is, of course, to spread the teachings of Islam, knowledge of Islam through this segment of others. So the first question we'll answer for you is that, what was the name of Qarun's father?
The name of Qarun's father was Yashar.
Yashar. Right. Your turn to ask me a question now.
What was the relationship between Sayyidina Musa and Qarun?
The relationship between Musa and Qarun was that they both were cousins. The father of Qarun, Yashar, he was the uncle of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So the question for you is, what did people used to call Qarun and why?
People used to call Qarun Munawwar,
right,
because he was apparently very beautiful.
Beauty is apparently beauty.
He was blessed with beauty, so people used to call him Munawwar because due to his beauty.
Right.
Question for you is, what end did Qarun face?
Allah. Qarun was made to sink in the ground along with his so-called splendid home.
Allah.
So dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was our segment, Did You Know, where we asked questions, and today we spoke about Qarun, who was during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. He was the cousin of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, who initially was a very good reciter of the Torah, but eventually after gaining so much wealth, he became stubborn, he became rebellious, he became amongst those who ma'adallah opposed Prophet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and ultimately faced a dreadful end. This is what happens whenever you go against the Prophet of the time, ma'adallah. This is what happens. May Allah Almighty keep us amongst those who respect the Prophet alayhi salam, those who are obedient to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, those who revere the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Waqasi, before going to the segment, we were talking about Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and he covered the six pieces of advice that were given to Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu, which are very, very applicable to us as well in general, only if we can take those six pieces of advice as a charter of a life. Now, moving forward, which other element regarding the seerah of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu would you like to touch upon?
Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu's detachment from the world.
Allah.
And our detachment. Let's compare this.
Hmm.
He says that if I have one sip of water or one sip of milk is enough for me for that day.
Allah.
You know, once somebody gave thousands of dirhams or dinars to him, I said, this is for you. He gave that straight away and said,
Allah.
He didn't used to have like big houses, He didn't used to gather wealth. He looked forward to death. If you say to somebody, oh, you're going to die soon. Oh, me, I'm going to die. Oh, your dad's going to die soon. Why don't we look forward to death? We know that Jannah is waiting for us. We know if we have had a good life, we lived according to Quran and Sunnah, we've got Jannah. Why don't we look forward to it? Because we've gathered so much wealth, we don't want to detach ourselves from this world. What about what's going to happen to my house? What's going to happen to my children? My money, my business, my bank? So we made so much now, we don't want to leave that thing. The Sahaba Ikram, Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, he says that I prefer to live inside the earth than on top of the earth.
Allah.
In other words, I prefer the life of the grave. So when people used to torture the Muslims, we had no issue, no worries. He said, I'm going to have a lovely life inside my grave. I prefer to go there. I prefer to have less wealth. What do people threaten you with? They threaten you with your wealth. That will take your wealth, or your family, or your life. He didn't have love for these things. And as you mentioned, the Prophet said to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, oh Abu Dharr, you will come into the world alone and you leave the world alone as well. That's what's happened to all of us. We come into the world alone, no clothes. And when we leave the world, we'll have no clothes. A few white sheets. All of our money, our wealth, our possessions, our families, where will that go? It will be distributed, it will be given to somebody else. So we need to learn about our detachment, not have love for the dunya, not have love for the wealth, and learn from the life of Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala.
It also comes to a point, Makafi, where when you were mentioning that, why don't we like death? If we are well prepared, then why wouldn't we? You see, a student who prepares well for his exams, he's excited for exams to come. He's well prepared, he's covered his entire syllabus, and he knows that I'll do well in the exam. So he's not as worried. In fact, he's waiting for the exams to approach, to come. Only that student gets worried who's not prepared, who hasn't prepared, wasn't given time, due time to prepare for the exam. This is the same situation over here as well. The pious servants of Allah Almighty, the awliya karam, those who are pious, they know they've spent their lives according to Quran and Hadith, Quran and Sunnah. They know they've adopted halal and they've refrained from haram. They know they've led a pious life. And for them, death is like a transition from this world into the everlasting realm, to the everlasting world where they will meet their beloved, where they will behold the Prophet ﷺ in the grave, you know, where they will go in the presence, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what they're preparing for. And they know that, you know, they can't wait for the soul to leave this prison of their body so they can go into that actual world. You know, they say you're born to die.
Yes.
You live to die. You know, eventually you will die. Now, if we haven't prepared for our akhirah, for our hereafter, we've just made all the efforts just for this dunya, not caring about halal and haram, not caring about the faraid and wajibat, not caring about refraining from the unlawful, then of course we will fear dying, because we know then what will happen afterwards.
This dunya is just a test for us. As we mentioned, we read Surah Mulk as well, but this is just to test us.
Who does good and who does bad.
And you know, nobody, for today people deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah doesn't exist. People deny the prophets, people deny the awliya Allah. But nobody, whatever their color, their caste, their religion, has denied death.
True.
They believe, because death is a reality and everybody has seen it. We know the question, that is a test paper. We know the questions of the grave. It's like the papers come out early for us. We know this life was a test. And we've been told in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this life is like a prison for us.
Allah.
You know, we're restricted. Don't look at this. Don't say this. Don't eat this. Don't touch this. Don't go to these places. Restrictions. Why? Because our Jannah is somewhere else. This is for the disbelievers here. That you can. This is what their paradise is. They have nothing in the Akhirah. So we need to make sure that we pass this test and learn from the life of the companions, and especially of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could have had mountains of gold and silver. He could have had people from Makkah to Medina lining up to stitch his shoes, but he done it himself. Why? Teach us as ummah that don't get so engrossed in the dunya. But what about us? House, I've got one, two, cars, money, wealth. I don't care if it's halal or haram. As long as it's coming, doesn't matter.
If there's nothing wrong in earning wealth through halal means, by all means, you should be earning, but then pay due rights of it. Uthman ibn Ghani radiallahu anhu was rich, Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was rich, but this shouldn't lead us towards heedlessness, towards being heedless of the hereafter, towards being heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything, whether it is wealth or anything that makes you heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a calamity for you.
Look at our situation. We go to work or we go to business. If a customer comes, the time of Zuhr namaz is going. Do we say to the customer, excuse me, just sit down for 10, 15 minutes, let me go and pray?
Mm.
Or do we go to the customer first? Do we close our shops?
Very
or do,
true.
We go, do we go to the masjid or do we go in money?
Very true.
Risk is written for us.
Right.
Even if it's in the bottom of the mountain, we'll get it.
We'll get it.
If it's not written for us, if it's in between our two lips, you won't get it.
Right.
You could be having something, but sometimes you see it, you're about to eat something, but you take it out for some reason.
Mm.
You choke or something happens. That wasn't written for you. It was in between your lips. Rizq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed for us. But has Allah guaranteed us Jannah? Has Allah guaranteed us good afterlife? You have to work hard for that.
Sure. Beautiful points, Professor. Beautiful discussion is going on. Dear, now it's the time for the last segment, Hadith of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lies of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
The houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masajid, should be kept clean and tidy. And in one narration, Sunan Nasai, it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once saw that mucus was on the floor of the masjid. And he expressed his displeasure, dislike. Upon this, a sahabiya from the Ansar, radiyallahu anha, she cleaned it and she applied fragrance at that very spot. And what did the Prophet alayhi salam do in return when he saw this? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a pleasant tone, Ma ahsana hadha. What a good action she has performed. How good is this action? Subhanallah. So, as Muslims, when we go to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should of course purify ourselves. And once there, we should also help in keeping and maintaining the cleanliness of the houses of Allah, the masajid. Inshallah, we will gain an abundance of reward. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Beautiful message for us. May Allah Almighty enable us to act in accordance to it. Dear viewers, we were talking about Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu and his disinterest from this dunya, from this world. There are many, many narrations that talk about how averse he was towards this dunya. There are narrations where Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu anhu mentioned Waqasi, like the one who has 2 dirhams, his accountability will be severer than the one who has 1 dirham.
Allah.
The one who has 2 dirhams, his accountability will be severer than the one who has 1 dirham.
Well, that person who's got thousands of pounds,
Allah. You
know, properties and children and businesses. They say the poor will go into Jannah first.
Allah.
They have less account, you know, and the rich will be standing there. Where did you earn it from? How did you earn it? Where did you spend it?
Accountability of halal and punishment upon haram.
Allah. Even for halal earnings, you earn halal.
There's accountability.
Even for that, how many weeks or days would it take to account for that work?
Allah, Allah, Allah. In another narration, Qasri Abu Dharr Ghifari mentioned that by Allah, I prefer that Allah had made me a tree that was chopped off or whose fruit was consumed. You know, there's so many narrations that we can keep talking about where he shows us disinterest in this dunya and guided us how you should live your life. Anything else, Qasri, you would like to add on this?
Just, you know, we've been learning about the life of Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala, and what can we take away from this?
Mm.
Yeah? So he worshipped all night. Okay, we can't worship all night. We're weaker than they. We're not as strong as them. We don't have the same passion and faith that they had. But our deen is such a beautiful religion that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who reads Isha by Jamaat gets the reward of doing ibadah for half the night. And the one who reads Fajr by Jamaat gets the reward of doing ibadah the whole night.
Even if he's slept after a
finish. So he's sleeping in the middle, but he gets the reward of the whole night of ibadah. Can we at least do that much? Read Isha by Jamaat and Fajr by Jamaat. That's not too difficult. Especially nowadays, the days are very short. Isha Jamaat in the masjid, 7, half past 7, some masjids are doing it. Fajr is waking up anyway for work.
Yes.
Can you wake up half an hour earlier and go to the masjid and read your salah in the masjid? How night worth of ibadah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed a mu'min, a believer, through his husni akhlaq, his character, gets the reward of standing in prayer all night and fasting during the day.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Good character.
Subhanallah.
Where is our character today? You know, how do we talk to people?
Mm.
You know, a lot of people think Islam is just salah, fasting, hajj, zakat. Ibadah is one part of our deen.
Right.
This husn akhlaq, our character, our manners, our hukukul ibad, how we are with people. This is also part of our deen as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we think it's okay, talk good to somebody, swear at them, abuse them. He's my employee, I don't need to respect him. He works for me.
Look down.
I pay him. Why should I be respectful to him? We look down on people.
Mm-hmm.
So these are small things that we can do to get the reward of the whole night's worth of ibadah. And I'll finish on this, that when Sayyid Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala passed away, people went to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how was Abu Dhar Ghifari? How was his worship? She said, day and night he used to be indulged in the fikr of the akhirah.
Mm-hmm.
He used to just think about the akhirah. What will happen to me when I pass away? What will happen to me? Do we have that thought?
Mm-hmm.
We live in that we're never going to die. Money, wealth, possessions, you know? And this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that if he had two valleys of gold,
Allah.
What's two valleys? The place between two mountains, the valley. Two valleys of gold, he won a third one.
Allah.
And the only thing that can fill the belly of a man is the mud of the grave. This is where we're going to end up. So we need to take, you know, heed and take minds and make our mindset that we will act upon the seerah of the companions like Sayyidina Abu Dhar Ghifari and from the life and learn about these companions. Learn about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we sit down and read a book about the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we go online? We spend hours on social media.
True.
You know, magazines and newspapers and, you know, social media, hours and hours go by. How much do we spend reading the Quran? Do we spend 10 minutes a day? How much do we spend learning about our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about our deen? Out of 24 hours, do we spend 1 hour on learning about our deen and the Quran? This is our situation today. So I pray to Allah, whatever we have learned, may Allah give us the ability to accept that and pass it on to others, inshallah.
Inshallah, JazakAllah Qasri, beautiful philosophies and you mentioned from the seerah of Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and how it's an eye-opener for us.
Definitely.
That what great legacy they left behind for us and how content they were, despite not having any worldly possession in terms of wealth. And when Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu anhu was mentioning about the provision that he had, just one extra shul he had,
Allah.
One extra shul, for which he said that I fear to give account for this one extra shul that I have.
And look, these people, they have no apparent worldly possessions.
Mm.
But we are talking about them 1400 years later. Why? Because they had that love for the deen, not for the dunya. They had that love and connection to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, people forget about kings' names. Who remembers such and such king from such country?
True.
They had the money. Well,
even if they do, it's for negative reasons.
Negative reasons. But look at the Sahaba, the awliya Allah. And if you read a lot of them, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to tie stones to his blessed
Allah,
stomach.
Allah.
Why do we remember them? The love and the passion for Islam and what they've done for others.
And also, of course, just towards the end, as a closing remark, these are those personalities, the likes of Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu anhu. Faraid is one thing, wajibat is one thing, mustahabbat and preferable actions, so on and so forth, sunnah, these are one thing. They would even avoid the doubtful matters.
Allahu.
This is the beauty of Islam, to leave those matters which are even ambiguous, which are doubtful. The account of the burial and shrouding of Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu anhu is also amazing, where he mentioned the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam mentioning a group will come who will do your burial, and Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave this news way back, showing the ilm al-ghayb of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu mentioned this too, Ummu Dhar radiallahu anha, who was his honorable wife. And then this is how he radiallahu anhu was he departed from this mortal world, and how cautious he was even in terms of his shrouding and burial. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, the times got better of us, the times didn't permit me to carry on our discussion on this remarkable personality, on this beacon of guidance, on this legendary personality who left such great legacy for us to follow. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah Almighty shower his choicest of mercies and blessings upon the blessed shrine of Sayyidina Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu anhu, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the